This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, New Orleans. Weather's finally getting cold, and we're getting a lot closer to Christmas. And I don't know about you, but my anxiety is increasing because I have yet to purchase a gift. And every time I look at the calendar, this month of December is slipping by all too fast. I guess that one's on me, but I'm sure a lot of you are in the same position. But I say that just as a simple reminder, we got to be nice out there. We got to be patient. You know, we're driving around. I was driving the other day. People were going absolutely crazy. And it just slow down. Take a breath. It'll all happen. You'll get it all done, and you don't need to be inconsiderate to others in doing so. We have a great show for you today. In the last hour, we're going to talk about a number of issues involving law enforcement, incarceration, and other things such as that. In the second hour, Ron Fauché joins us, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, to talk about some of the most recent polls in the aftermath of this impeachment talk and the IG report and so forth. In this hour, though, a really interesting article in the New York Times entitled, "Want a White-Collar Career Without College Debt? Become an Apprentice." And talking about looking for alternatives to paying for college tuition and what you can do to put you in a better position to start working, move through your employment life by learning directly skills. Mary Alice McCarthy joins us, the director of the Center of on Education and Skills at New America. Mary Alice, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So when we think about these types of programs, I mean, apprenticeship programs have been around in the labor unions for quite a long period of time and are mostly trade related. But there's so many other opportunities, are there not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, apprenticeship is in the United States has gotten sort of very sort of focused on the building trades, and that's where it's grown up. And for the most part, that's where it's been a widely accepted model. But as a learning model, as a teaching and learning model, it can work for all sorts of careers and all sorts of jobs. Apprenticeship is just a great way to learn because it combines structured, mentored on-the-job learning with some classroom instruction, rather than everything being either in the class or everything being on the job. So it's a high-quality education model that can work for all sorts of jobs.
You know, when you think about it, I don't know that a lot of people, for instance, and this is not a criticism or a knock on any type of employment, but I don't, you know, when you go to college, I don't think that you go there thinking, well, I'm going to come out and I'm going to be a claim analyst, or I'm going to come out and I'm going to be an insurance agent, or I'll come out and be a real estate agent. Is that what y'all find?
Yeah, I think for a lot of young people, that's true. The way we've structured sort of the last few years of high school and the way we sort of structured the traditional college experience, it really isn't about careers very much. It's about sort of general learning and a lot of general education. And we also know, though, that doesn't work for a lot of young people. And a lot of times we get people who either aren't excited about what they're learning because it's not very tangible. They don't know why, and that just isn't what, you know, gets them excited. So they might drop out, or they do finish college and they still don't know what they actually want to do and for a living, and then maybe spend a lot of time, you know, more time than anybody would like, sort of finding their way into a career. What's nice about apprenticeship is that it's a way to expose young people to different kinds of careers without getting them into a lot of debt. You know, it's a pretty low-risk strategy. And I think what happens for a lot of young people, you're right, most people don't sort of grow up wanting to be a claims analyst, But when they get into these positions, they suddenly realize that they can be pretty interesting, and that it's, you know, in the right kind of environment, they start to understand how a career can really fit into their life. And the sooner a young person finds that connection to what their career is going to be, the better, because it's just going to save them a lot of time and a lot of money if they are able to find that match early on in their lives.
You know, I had kind of a similar experience myself. I did get a college degree. I was an accounting major, 11 years part-time at night while working in law enforcement, and ended up in a career in law enforcement and worked throughout. And, a little bit at a time going to college, but predominantly working, and was able to retire at a fairly young age because I started my career early and decided that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, we in the United States have really sort of stretched out that period of time before we expect young people to really find their way into their career, and it's definitely got some downsides. Again, we also don't want people getting, you know, tracked into careers that they don't want to do at too young an age, or getting trapped in them in any way. Nobody wants to see that happen. But there's a lot of research out there on how sort of getting young people exposed to work and giving them work experience at a younger age, and giving them access to mentors who can help them understand the world of work, really has many benefits for them.
Why has Europe been more advanced in this regard than we here in the United States?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's many reasons. Some of it's just tradition. But I also think that they have different expectations around the business community has different expectations and maybe a different culture around how they think about talent development, particularly in Germany and Switzerland. Companies there think in much longer term time horizons than a lot of businesses here do in the United States. So they have very long-term strategies to develop talent that mean that they work very closely with their local school systems and have developed these apprenticeships. The apprenticeship systems that have developed there are systems in which companies and businesses are very heavily involved. At the same time, too, these are countries, Germany and Switzerland, with very strong labor movements that have also been very directly involved in sort of building these systems, again, that start very young and create these sort of structured transitions for young people into work, paid work experience at a young age. So, again, there's different traditions, but also different systems that help support the whole process. I should say, again, the apprenticeship systems in Germany and Switzerland are strongly supported through the government, through taxpayer dollars, and also through the business community. So they have systems and structures that really make it work. In the United States, those sort of structures really have only existed within our building trades primarily in that sector, but they haven't been developed in other parts of our economy and other parts of other industry sectors. So, for example, if you're an apprentice in the United States in something like healthcare or insurance, you know, the question of how do you, you know, where do you get your classroom instruction, what school do you go to learn that part of your apprenticeship is not as well developed here. And so places have to kind of figure it out on their own. And that can be a real barrier on growth.
It's interesting that you say that. I was at the Michoud Assembly facility here in New Orleans the other day. We had a live show from there. That is part of the NASA program, and they have an apprenticeship program that Boeing has started with a local community college, which has grown exponentially. It's not nearly as big as they would like it to be, but I found it very interesting that they get some of the baseline education in waiting to get the actual technical education of the side of what they're doing out there at that facility. And a lot of the young folks are completely enamored by this process. So when we think about business sectors or business employment sectors, which one is the fastest growing as it relates to apprenticeship? Or do you know?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And we're seeing a lot of growth. I would say that probably outside of the building trades, where we're seeing the most growth is in advanced manufacturing. And again, here companies like Boeing and Dow and then also a lot of the German and Swiss manufacturing companies, whether it's Siemens or Volkswagen, Bosch, They sort of brought their when they moved their plants to the United States in the early 2000s. They sort of brought apprenticeship with them, and then that in turn has been spreading into other manufacturing firms. Also, we're seeing it a lot more in sort of small and medium sized manufacturing firms in the Carolinas, and also in Tennessee. I'd say another industry sector where we're seeing some growth is in financial services. The article in the New York Times talked about Aon Insurance in Chicago. They have a program. So does the Hartford in Connecticut. This does seem like a space that accounting and insurance adjusting are very apprenticeable occupations. The Swiss and Germans have been doing that for a long time, and I think companies here are catching on. And then we're seeing a lot of growth in IT and tech. And Amazon and Microsoft have registered apprenticeship programs, and there is a lot of interest in the tech sector in apprenticeship. Again, these are all sectors: manufacturing, financial services, IT, where there are real shortages of technical workers, and so these companies are really stepping in. And I think particularly in something like IT, apprenticeship is just a great way for people to learn things like cybersecurity skills or coding skills or programming, software development. It's turning out to be a really good model for those sectors as well to build talent.
Well, speaking of Aon, we have the COO of Aon that's going to be on in just a minute here. Mary Alice, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time. Mary Alice McCarthy, Director of the Center on Education and Skills at New America. We truly appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you very much.
All righty. When we return, we'll have Aaron Olson, the COO of Aon, and he's going to talk about their program when we return. Stay with us. We're talking about apprenticeship programs, and Aaron Olson, the Chief Operating Officer of Aon, a leading global professional services firm, joins us. Mr. Olson, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Noel.
I love one of your mantras under opportunities that you have on your website. It says, own your potential.
Yeah. That's a message that we have to all of our 50,000 colleagues. We really believe that Aon is a place where, you know, somebody who is ambitious and really wants to build a career has their best opportunity.
So you guys obviously are a believer in this apprenticeship model. Tell us about what you guys have done.
Yeah, sure. So we have 100 apprentices here working at Aon. We hire 25 per year from the City Colleges of Chicago. And one of the City Colleges, community colleges, Harold Washington, is two blocks away from us. And so we've established a relationship with them that became the basis of our apprenticeship program, and also a network of other employers like us here in Chicago that are focused on hiring apprentices as well.
You know, when you're competing for human capital and you take into consideration attrition rates of companies, you have to have fresh, new, energetic young people kind of in a pipeline all the time. Do you find that your apprenticeship programs, you find folks that might be better suited or a better fit for your organization getting an opportunity to work with them through that process?
Yeah, well, actually, that's a reason why we have actually gravitated toward apprenticeships. We actually find that, again, only two blocks away, there was a group of students and new professionals that we had never focused on. And in fact, it became a great source for us of people who are committed and, as you said, kind of really want to take ownership for their careers, take ownership for their potential. And the apprenticeship has created a structure for us to do that in a new way. Before this, like a lot of employers like us, who are sort of in the professional services industry, who are sort of white collar jobs, you know, we would have only looked at people with a 4-year degree. After having looked at this, we identified the opportunity to actually change that expectation and create the apprenticeship program, which is a legitimate alternative to the 4-year degree and is a different way to get in and do ultimately the same jobs.
When we think about some of the 4-year universities now are embracing this notion of experiential learning, and that's exactly what apprenticeship is all about. Do you find that your peers in the industry are becoming more flexible, more open to these types of programs?
Yeah, it has become something more accepted. I would say it's still early. We became, I think, focused on this because we also have offices around the world. And in our case, in the UK, where there's a longer tradition of apprenticeships, we had been part of an insurance industry effort to create the standard for apprenticeships in that industry. So it was something that we were already familiar with. We ultimately then saw the opportunity here. We were already focused on experiential education. We hire hundreds of interns every year from four-year colleges, and we started our relationship with the community college with internships. What we found was you actually create a better structure with an apprenticeship for somebody who's going to community college because you actually create more structure over a two-year period for the person to learn and earn. They are actually going to school full-time and working for us. We're paying them as a full-time employee, including benefits, because we know that that person is getting, you know, experience at the same time they're going to school that's valuable to us.
We're talking to Aaron Olson, who's COO of Aon. Aaron, a four-year degree and an apprenticeship, they're not mutually exclusive by any stretch of the imagination. Do you find that a lot of the folks that y'all bring on into your apprenticeship program, do they go on and get a four-year degree in some cases?
We've designed it to create that option. And after somebody completes the apprenticeship, which in our situation is a two-year associate's degree plus their registered credential as an apprentice, they then have the access to our tuition reimbursement program, and some of them continue on with their studies to go on and complete a four-year bachelor's degree.
And the beauty of someone like Aon being in this, you guys are a very diverse company, multidimensional, so there's any number of career paths just within your organization that they can choose from.
Yeah, thanks, Newell. Yeah, we are a professional services firm. You know, we focus on, you know, helping our clients with financial performance and, you know, with things that serve their employees, things like their healthcare benefits. So we do have a lot of different jobs. And we have apprentices working in our IT department, in our HR department, and some of them are pursuing insurance brokerage licenses. They can move around between those as an employer, you know, within our company. And then, you know, we're a big proponent of apprentices here in the Chicago area, and we'd love to create an environment where that apprenticeship actually is something that's recognized by multiple employers, which just, I think, creates it, you know, even more of a, you know, clear career path for people who want to look at this as an alternative to a four-year degree.
Absolutely. And when you have companies like your brand on this type of program, obviously the company's well-respected. The apprenticeship program will be well-respected as well.
Yep. We actually started this, and then within our second year, we actually had a conversation with Accenture. Yep. And they were also doing something similar with the city colleges. We jointly then launched what we call the Chicago Apprentice Network. Accenture and Aon were the two lead companies, but we actually now have 27 employers who have committed to hiring 538 apprentices across the Chicago area. And we think that those numbers start to get people's attention, both employers who start to see this as an alternative place to hire, as well as, you know, people who are looking to work at these companies who might not know about apprenticeships.
Based on the successes that y'all have had so far, is there a strategic plan to grow this program even bigger?
We are focused on growing this program in Chicago, and we have a vision of getting to 1,000 apprentices. We believe we're on track to do that, you know, in 2020 as we continue to recruit more employers. We think that this then becomes an interesting, what I would call, city model. We're focused on Chicago. We feel like we need to put our resources here where we have strong relationships with other employers and a real commitment to the community. You know, we do get questions about whether this could work at other cities, and we think there might be something there. We right now are focused on Chicago because we really feel like we have an opportunity to get this right here.
Absolutely. Well, you know, let me just wish you the best for much continued success on this. I have always been a strong advocate of experiential learning. I think, you know, I went through kind of that myself, and I really believe that there's significant value to it.
Well, Newell, I appreciate you making time for this topic. We're very passionate and real advocates for this. We think it creates, you know, opportunities for people who, like you said, really want to take ownership for their potential.
Absolutely. Aaron Olson, the Chief Operating Officer of Aon, thank you so much for your time and your insight.
Thank you.
All righty. We'll be right back after the break. 260-1870 or text 870-870. When we come back, the managing director of University Ventures, Anand Radia, joins us, and she is going to be talking about these educational opportunities that go hand in glove with the apprenticeship program. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We have been talking about the value of apprenticeship programs, experiential learning, the value of that to forward-leaning organizations. It seems to have really taken off in Europe, and kind of wonder why not so much here, but it seems to be a growing trend here now. Much value in it when you're thinking about the cost of education today and the time commitment and everything else. You may want to start your career a little earlier. Anand Radia joins us. He's the managing director at University Ventures. Anand, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm happy to be on.
So tell us about you guys obviously are involved in this. Tell us exactly what it is that you guys do and the importance of it to these apprenticeship programs.
Sure. So University Ventures, we are a venture capital and private equity firm, and we invest exclusively in the higher education space. And we're defining higher education as any sort of learning that's bringing someone from post-secondary education into the workforce. And so, you know, included in that is apprenticeships. And we think they're one of the most efficient ways to kind of get the skills you need to, you know, have a career and become a contributing member of society.
So how is it that y'all are interrelated with this specifically from an operational standpoint?
Sure. So we have investments in companies that really kind of provide the apprenticeship infrastructure in areas where we don't necessarily or not traditionally have thought of apprenticeships. So we've got an investment in a company called Tectonic, and Tectonic provides apprenticeships in software development. So while most apprentices in the U.S. today are through unions and are in the skilled trades, we think that there's a real opportunity for there to be an increasing number of apprenticeships in areas of digital skills, you know, that are growing much faster, say, than areas like the skilled trades.
Anand, when the private equity firms get involved in this, is that a clear indication that this is really going to be a growing sector of the workforce now coming up through these apprenticeship programs?
You know, I think there's no question that all the ingredients are there for that to be the case. You know, I'll let you know in 10 years. whether that actually, you know.
But you guys analyze this from, you know, every which way but loose, right? So obviously you see some forward-leaning indicators here that I really believe the U.S. is ripe for this in so many different ways.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So, you know, we've got, I think, about 16 million undergraduates, I think somewhere between 16 and 17 million undergraduates enrolled in U.S. universities today. You know, every year you've got, you know, 2 to 3 million people or so graduating from undergraduate programs, I think it is. But about half of those people, so 90% of those students are going to school, you know, for the reason of getting a better job and having a better career and having a better life. You know, I know that was one of my motivating factors to go to school, not just for, you know, kind of the intellectual enlightenment of it, but I knew that there would be, you know, financial gains and financial rewards to going and getting a bachelor's degree. And that view is shared by, you know, pretty much everyone who undertakes an undergraduate, you know, program of study. The problem is, you know, 40 to 50% of those graduates are graduating into jobs that didn't ultimately require a bachelor's degree. So we would just term that underemployment. So 40 to 50% of underemployment of recent college grads. And then, you know, for some people that persists because careers are path dependent. So, What that means is if you've got a job out of school that didn't require a college degree initially, you might not then be eligible in your next position for a job that required a college degree. And so what you're seeing is a lot of people who are paying for, and as we all know, the cost of higher education is increasing incredibly rapidly, like healthcare costs, but the returns are becoming more uncertain for students. And so that's really a big driving factor where all of a sudden, kids are asking, is this the thing that makes the most sense for me, for me to take on all this debt and maybe not have, the outcome that I was promised, because they're starting to, see and hear from people that they know who've gone down that traditional education path and not necessarily accrued, had the benefits accrue to them. And so I do think that there is a shift, in mindset amongst both students and parents that's making people think about what the alternatives are today.
Do you find in the evaluation that you guys have done that folks that are coming out of these apprenticeship programs tend to be more productive in the sense that, a lot of folks learn in a different way. When they're hands-on and they do this experiential learning model, that they're actually able to progress at a much faster rate when they're doing it at the same time that they're learning about it.
Yeah, no, and I don't know, we haven't necessarily looked at any controlled study to say that for certain, that people are more productive as a result of having gone through an apprenticeship program. But the one thing I will say is, even people who graduated from school will tell you, who go into the kind of traditional white collar workforce or digital skills workforce, will tell you that most of what they do at their current job, they really learned on their job, right? I mean, learning, especially in the traditional higher education setting, is so disconnected from the skills that employers are hiring for today. That it's almost impossible to think that, classroom learning is really going to be, the only thing that somebody needs to then go and be productive right away. I mean, even in fields, look at medicine, for example, right? Medicine has obviously a rotational component to medical school as well as a residency thereafter, which, is somewhat like an apprenticeship.
Yeah,
exactly. Where you take a reduced wage. Yeah, you have experiential learning, then you take a reduced wage. For some period of time until
significantly
you're
reduced
fully capable.
Significantly reduced.
Absolutely. And so I think, there's no disagreement from anyone, proponents of traditional higher education or not, that, more experiential learning is needed. I think the question is whether, we should be substituting some of the both resources and time that people spend on traditional higher education. And I would, and I would say that we should.
We're talking to Anand Radia, Managing Director of University Ventures. Now, you guys specifically have invested in the technology sector in this company, Tectonix. I've had some experience in my previous life. One of the organizations beneath me was our Managed Information Systems. And I found so many of the Gen Xers, the Gen Yers were self-taught about a lot of what they did in software development and systems management and so forth. Do y'all see that as well?
Yeah, and that was one of the, I think that's one of the things, particularly in technology, that's led the field to be ripe for this kind of new age apprenticeship, is that, so many of the people who are in the space don't have, bachelor's degrees in, information systems or in software development, but have gone on to be, really productive developers or technologists in general. And so as those people kind of proceed in their careers and become hiring managers, they don't necessarily have the same prejudice against people who are not formally trained because they themselves are not. And that's really a function of the fact that, the industry grew so rapidly for so many years, really from the mid 80s onward. And higher education just wasn't able to keep up. And so, enterprising people with, the right level of fundamental intelligence were able to kind of shift their careers, you know, teach themselves in those areas, you know, either on the job or completely self-taught, or usually a combination of the two. And those people once they become the hiring managers of the future, and another reason it's ripe for this sort of model today.
Well, I would book on your bet because I think it's going to be very successful, and we truly appreciate you spending time with us today.
Absolutely. Happy to talk about it anytime.
All righty. Anand Radia, Managing Director of University Ventures, talking about apprenticeship programs and companies that they've actually invested in because of the value of the apprenticeship program and something they're helping foster and invest their money in. We'll be right back after the break. 260-1870 or text 870-870. This is Newell on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.